أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أمراض القلوب واللسان كاملة، اللقاء الثالث تحت عنوان غض البصر. We're talking, brothers and sisters, about the evil actions of the heart and the tongue. And we are talking about the third disease, which is lowering your gaze. And this is the third meeting on that disease, talking about that disease. Last time we have said that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as reported by Usama ibn Zayd radiyallahu anhu, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرُّ عَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no trials or no big test I have left behind me more challenging and more harmful to men than women. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is attracting our attention to two things: attracting the attention of women, telling them how powerful they can be supporting the shaitan, and attracting the attention of men, telling them how easy it is to be going along with the shaitan too. And the common denominator is women. Shaitan understands that women are the ultimate desire for men. And shaitan understands that women, their ultimate desire is to attract attention to themselves. So the shaitan takes charge of the woman the minute she leaves the house, the minute she mingles with men, whispering to her every kind of attraction she can do to attract men. And men comes to men, shaitan comes to men and whispers to his mind everything in that woman to make him look and look more and take more steps and so forth. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling us that this is a disaster for men if they don't understand it, and it is a disaster for women if they don't understand it. Because if a woman does anything to attract the attention of men, she is going to get the evil of doing that act plus the evil of whom she has deviated. Because anyone who shows people something good, he gets the reward of that and the act of the people, as long as they keep doing it, the same thing. So here we said before that the three major sins from which every evil stems from: associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, killing, and fornication. الشرك وقتل النفس والزنا أمهات الكبائر. And zina is one of those, and that's what we are talking about. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم. Command to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to command the believers to lower their gaze. ويحفظوا فروجهم, to chase their privates. Pay attention to this. A command, which means you have to do. To whom? To the believers, not to everyone. Because believers are the one who are to submit to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without arguing, without debating. That's two. Three, lower their gaze before chasing their privates. He did not say يَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُمْ وَيَغُضُّ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Which is more evil, to look or to commit zina? Naturally, to commit zina. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in our understanding, He should have commanded us to not commit zina. But no, there are means for that zina. It doesn't just come out of the blues just like that and they commit it. There are steps that leads to it. And in Islam, prevention is better than cure, as we all say. It is in Islam before anyone ever mentioned those words. Lower your gaze, because your eyes are the mailbox for your heart. Your eyes take the message to your heart acts upon it. So in order for someone to commit zina, it starts with the eyes, and then it develops to other things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to lower the gaze, to kill it from the beginning. If you haven't seen anything, nothing is going to stir your desires. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, min absarihim, not all, not to lower their vision completely where they cannot see anything, from their sight, from their vision, the enough or the portion enough to turn away from the haram, yet you can still see your way, you can still see what you need to do and where to go. At the same time, to let us know that it is not completely closed, you cannot look, period. No, there are exceptions that you can look, and it is permissible in cases of, for instance, seeking cure, and when a person wants to get engaged, and some other reasons. So we have said that eyes commit zina, ears commit zina, mouth commit zina, hands commit zina, legs commit zina, even thoughts, your personal thoughts commit zina. Wishing for it, looking for it, planning for it, a form of zina. Touching, a form of zina. Walking to it, a form of zina. Talking about it, form of zina. Listening to it, form of zina. Looking, a form of zina. So when we look at zina, it's not just the whole thing is just the big act, the fornication or the adultery. No, there are other forms of zina, and the bigger or the closer it is to the real act of zina, the bigger the sin. So you go from looking to touching and so forth, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until you get to the real zina. So you have minor zina and a big zina, and in between there are ranks or levels of zina. We talked about the proofs from the Quran, from the Sunnah, to lower our gaze and to chaste ourselves from that. And we gave some examples about the Salaf radiallahu anhum. We said that Anas radiallahu anhu said, إِذَا مَرَّتْ بِكَ امْرَأَةٌ فَغُضَّ عَيْنَكَ حَتَّى تُجَاوِزُكَ. Anas radiallahu anhu said, if a woman passes by you, lower your gaze until she passes. And Waqi' said that خَرَجْنَا مَعَ الثَّوْرِي فِي يَوْمِ عِيدٍ فَقَالْ إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا نَبْدَأُ بِهِ فِي يَوْمِنَا هَذَا غَضُّ أَبْصَارِنَا. Waqi' said that we left with Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah, a great scholar of hadith. And Sufyan said, the very first thing that we do today, the day of Eid, is to lower our gaze. Why? Because a lot of mixings. It doesn't matter how much you control it, there will be some mixing. It doesn't matter how much you give command to women to not wear perfume, to not dress provocatively, to not talk, to not mix, they'll do it. And this is the biggest test for men. A lot of men, weak believers, are going to look. So here he said, the very first thing we do is we lower our gaze. Why? Because the temptation is a lot bigger than any other days where you have men and women gathering at the same time. Unfortunately, many of us in Eid, we think that just going out and having the celebration of Eid, that everything is allowed and everything is permitted. And alhamdulillah, we finished Ramadan, or we finished the Hajj, now everything becomes halal. We don't know that in Eid al-Adha, we are still in the 10th day of Muharram, the best of the days in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, the best day that ever the sun rose over and sets over is the 10th of Muharram, Yawmun Nahr. So the day of Eid is the best of all days, the most virtuous. Yet many of us think that everything is over, good acts and good actions are no longer there, and everything is permissible, and that is because of our ignorance of the importance of the Eid and the importance of the sanctity of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not forget that the look, al-nadra, sahim masmum, والسهم يقتل فكيف إذا كان مسموما والنظرة لا تشبع ولا تغني فلا بد من نظرة أخرى ولا بد من أخرى كالعطشان الذي يشرب من ماء البحر ماذا يحصل يزداد عطشا وهكذا النظرة. When you talk about looking, it's a poisoned arrow. The arrow kills by itself, and when it is poisoned, it's a big of a kill, a bigger killer. Looking is like a thirsty person wants to drink, goes to the sea, drinks. What does the water of the sea do? Gets him more thirsty. The same thing, the look. Never ever one look is sufficient. A look invites another look, just like a sin. A sin invites another sin. A good deed invites another good deed. Look at yourself. When you do good, you find yourself, you're on the roll. Ramadan, you start fasting. If someone tells you, I need money, give him the money. If someone angers you, you control yourself. Why? Because you're in a state of obedience. Once you deviate away, you let your sight go, okay, you started the sin. And this sin becomes familiar to people, where people say, what's wrong with looking? Do you think everybody that looks have bad intention? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create eyes for us? She is like my sister, or he is like my brother. Why and why? What's wrong with talking? What's wrong with sitting? She's wearing the hijab. What's wrong with working together? What's wrong with going together? What's wrong with chatting? Like today, one person wants to chat. And I asked him a question. I said, would you like someone to chat with your sister? Guess what the answer was? Why not? A person who is not even here in a Muslim country. I said, why not? It's okay for someone to chat with your sister? And subhanAllah, you run into... I asked that question, and guess what he answered me? Are you from the takfiri group? Are you from the brother organization? Are you from Wahhabi? You're not moderate. I asked him a question. I said, are you the youth? Let me explain it for you. By the way, we're going to talk about that, the youth, for a full lecture. I said, do you know that a person like you would never enter the Jannah as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us? لا يدخل الجنة the youth. You run out of words, actually, when you have a person thinking this way. You just don't know from where to tackle the issue. I mean, when you find a person, yani we are working so hard with our children here in this country to instill in them the jealousy and the ghira for their honor, for their mothers, for their sisters, for their aunts, for their daughters, to where they don't, it's okay. It's okay to go out with boys, and it's good boys, and it's good to have friends, and it's good to sit, and it's good to go. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. So what's left? What's left? The big faith that they have is going to stop them from what's next? I mean, it's wide open in the beginning. So this is the danger. You let your eyes go, then you start to see there's no problem with looking, no problem with sitting, no problem with going out, no problem with sleeping together. What's left? Unfortunately, this is a horrible thing. So today we said we're going to talk about cure, al-ilaj. Number one cure for a person who does not lower his gaze, al-istihya min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala haqq al-haya. To be bashful, to have haya from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he deserves. Which means to know that he is supervising you, he is watching you, he is seeing you, and he is accounting you and recording everything that you are doing. وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُ. We do everything that they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. That will put fear into your heart as a believer and make you refrain from that. Look what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أُوصِيكَ أَن تَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ اللَّهِ كَمَا تَسْتَحْيِ مِنَ الرَّجُلِ الصَّالِحِ فِي قَوْمِكَ. Look at even how simplified it is. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, I enjoin upon you to be bashful, to shy away from committing sin before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like you are shy to do that in front of a righteous person from your village. You don't see a person coming in front of a sheikh or something like that and start making passes and doing things with women. He would act like he's a perfect gentleman. Well, if you're doing that in front of a human being, look what the Prophet ﷺ said, at least deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like that. Shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as you do from that person. And you find people they fear. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ. Do you fear them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala haqqa an takhshaw. Wa qala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as reported by Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, istahyu min Allah haqqa al-haya. He commanded the companions, be bashful, shy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he deserves it from you. Then the companions said, inna lanastahyi min Allah haqqa al-haya. They said, oh Prophet of Allah, wallahi we do that. Then he elaborated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ اِسْتَحْيَى مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ الْحَيَاءِ فَلْيَحْفَظِ الرَّأْسَ وَمَا وَعَى وَالْبَطْنَ وَمَا حَوَى وَلِيَذْكُرَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْبِلَى وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ تَرَكَ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَمَنْ فَعَلَ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ اِسْتَحْيَى مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقَّ الْحَيَاءِ. اِحْفَظِ الرَّأْسَ, take care, safeguard of your head and all the tools inside and outside, thinking, looking, hearing, talking, safeguard that from anything that might be committed by it, haram. وَالْبَطْنَ وَمَا حَوَى, your body inside, and what's inside besides food, like halal food and such, your heart is there. Take care of that. Make sure that it doesn't have the evil actions of the heart. Make sure that it doesn't act upon bad things, and make sure it is clean all the time. Make sure it is not rusted, because sins make the heart rusty. It darkens the heart. It closes the heart. Remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cleans the heart, and forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the heart rusty. إِنَّ الْقَلْبَ لَيَصْدَى وَجَلَاؤُهُ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. Indeed the heart becomes rusty. And how do you clean that? To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And naturally, anytime you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, committing a sin, you're not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, it leads you to that. وَلْيَذْكُرَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْبِلَى. Remember death. Remember the trials of death. Remember the trials of the grave. Remember the trials of the day of judgment. Once you remember that, you are really shying from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ If you work for the hereafter, تَرَكَ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا You leave the glamour of this dunya to the people of the dunya. We are not the people of the dunya. In essence, we're living. But we are not the people of the dunya because dunya is in our hands, not our hearts. Anytime you get rid of it, you are willing to sacrifice the whole dunya for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when something is in, it's in your hand, it's easily, you can remove it and you can get rid of it. But when it's already, the love of it has been instilled in your heart, it's not easy to get rid of that. Therefore, you want that heart to be attached to the hereafter, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ He feared the stand before Allah. He thought about the day of judgment. وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْئُولُونَ You're going to be standing before Allah. You're going to be questioned. It's not a pleasure scene for a disobedient person. So I think of that, and I fear that stand, and I keep away from looking. I keep away from committing sin. نَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى Myself desires that. My heart commands me to control myself and not to do that. If I do that, the result is the Jannah. Number two, العزم الصادق والإرادة الجادة في التغيير. When you want to lower your gaze, you need to have a strong desire that you want to change. See, it's a disease. It's a disease. It's fun. People see it fun. Why? Because they look at the immediate pleasure. You look, you like it. Okay? You can't get it. What's going to happen after that? Hasra fil qalb. You couldn't get it. This is like your son going to the candy store. He sees a candy, he wants to eat it. He wants it. He wants to have it. And you tell him no. And he can't get it. He goes broken heart. He cries. Same thing. You see a woman. You liked her. You couldn't accomplish what you want to accomplish. You end up with sadness, sickness, worry. When am I going to do it again? When am I going to see? What am I going to do next? Why and why and why? Evil plans, preoccupied with her. This is a disease. So insist that I want to change. And you start with yourself before you start with others. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا You're not going to work hard to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to help you. He will help you. Number four, لَا تُعَرِّضْ نَفْسَكَ لِمَوَاطِنِ الْفِتَنِ Don't put yourself in a place that you cannot handle. You just quit smoking and you love smoking, and then you go to a smoky gathering or your best friends are smokers, and then you say, I couldn't control myself, I see everybody smoking and it smells, and I don't go there. So the same thing with here. You're from the people who like to look. Very hard to control yourself. Why do you keep going to mixed gatherings? Why do you keep going to the market? Why do you keep going to the mall? Why do you keep going to places where you know you're going to see a lot of that? Then it is from within yourself. You need to stay away from that. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells you, the most hated place in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the malls. What else you want to know? The most hated. You think yourself you are in a place Allah hates. What am I going to do there? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me to go there, but He hates it. So that means I'm going there for a necessity. If I am dying, Allah hates for me to eat pork, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for the necessity, He allowed me to get some of that thing that I hate, enough to keep me alive. I go to the mall. Why? I need to buy a pair of pants. Need, necessity. Allah hates the mall, but He allowed me to go there, get my needs. I get my pair of pants and go back. It's not like that. Where are you going? Oh, we're going to just go take a walk in the mall. Walking, doing what? What's there? Looking at the prices, looking for discounts, looking for new designs. What comes with that? It is, you think, limited only to just men and women? No, a lot more than that. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like it? How many people, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the mall, how many people forget totally to pray? How many people, they remember their prayer and they still don't pray? Pray it, you know, when I go home. Oh, it's only the first time I'm going to do it in the month. Oh, it's once a year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will understand. Oh, there is no place in here. Oh, like, how can I, like some of the sisters' questions, brother, how can I pray in front of everybody? You know, the positions of the prayer and bending over and such. Oh, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, put yourself in any position, anywhere you go, and because you are so shy from doing that prayer in front of them, you cancel what you are created for. Well, let's say that you're right. It's an embarrassing situation. I have an answer for you, sister. Don't be there. Pray at home. Arrange your time where you don't miss a prayer. You know how much time you need and what it takes. Arrange the time. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is number one, it's like a person looking for a job. You get your schedule and you see that you have no time for Friday. And you say, yes, okay, that sounds good, okay, I accept. Then you come back and you say, Sheikh, I just got a new job and I'm working on Friday. What should I do? Why didn't you discuss it from the beginning? Would be a lot easier to change or to make some. No, I'm afraid that he will refuse. Oh, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now you're pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to destroy your life and ruin you and everything. You don't think there is going to be a test. Brothers, we make excuses all the time when it comes to ourselves, but to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we always forward ourselves instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma'rifat awaqib itlaq al-basar. Fifth one is to know the consequences of not lowering your gaze. Fasad al-qalb, your heart will be ruined. Fugdan halawat al-iman, you don't enjoy the prayers and the good deeds anymore because your heart is not attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fugdan al-khushu', you are not humble in the prayer. How can I have khushu', brother? Brother, stay away from haram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you khushu'. It's one of the means. Nisyan al-ilm, you find people knowledgeable, but because of their sins, they don't remember anymore. They even forget the Quran. The companions used to say that because of a sin, I have forgotten a verse or so and so from the Quran. And Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, Imam Malik, when he saw him and he saw how brilliant he was and how good he is going to be, he looked in him and he saw that he's going to be somebody. He said, I see light in your heart. Don't put it out with sins. I see light in your heart. Don't put it out with sins. Meaning, let that light stay. Allah نور السماوات والأرض مثل نوره كمشكاة. بعض العلماء بعض الصحابة قال مثل نوره في قلب المؤمن كمشكاة. The light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart of a believer, it's like a lantern. a light. It is lit. But when you don't have that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it goes out. أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. وين النور هذا بيكون؟ نور البصيرة، نور العلم، نور الفهم، نور معرفة الحلال والحرام. The light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives for the knowledgeable people to know what's halal, what's haram. When someone brings a doubtful issue or a doubtful thing to you, you have light. You know what to do. It's not like you are stumbling in the dark. So this is what the consequences, or some of the consequences of not lowering your gaze. Also, not to forget al-qalaq. People always be worried. They're never settled. They're never happy in their life. They're always worried about the future because they're not connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you are making the entrance of the shaitan wide open. Once you get into sins, the shaitan is right there and wide open. الدُّعَاء كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعو. To help yourself lower your gaze, make dua. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: اللهم اقسم لي من خشيتك ما تحول به بيني وبين معصيتك. Oh Allah, give me a portion, grant me from your fear enough to turn me away from disobeying you. And lowering your gaze is from the disobedience. الزواج, get married. يا معشر الشباب من استطاع منكم الباءة أن يتزوج فليتزوج فإنه أحسن للفرج وأغض للبصر. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you can afford it, get married, because it chased your privates and it helped you lower your gaze. And in some hadith, فَإِنَّ عِنْدَهَا مَا عِنْدَ. What you see outside is what you got inside. This is for those people who are not married. If the person is married and he still looks, he's sick. Really sick. I mean, why do you think the punishment of zina for a married person, stoned to death, and for unmarried person, 100 lashes? Because the one who's not married, yani you can understand somehow, he's never been there, he's never tried it, he doesn't know the damage behind it when he commits it on himself, on his family, on her family, the results if they have a child or something like that. He's just a young person who's never seen that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy. But for some person who's married, you know what it is, and you know what it takes, and you know the evil after it, and you have it. This is like someone telling you, here's a dollar, this is halal and this is haram, and you take the dollar that is haram, and both of them are dollars. You preferred the haram over the halal. See, the unmarried person, he has haram, he doesn't have the halal dollar, it's more tempting. So the punishment is less. For the other person, no temptation. Why do you think some of the people that the punishment are severe, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at them and abandons them in the day of judgment? Faqir mutakabbir. A poor person who's arrogant. Arrogant for what? What do you got? Nothing. And you're acting, you're showing off that you are someone who is heavy, and you have nothing. Shaykh Zani, an old person who commits zina. You're too old. The desire in you does not equate to a young person to make you commit that. So it's like you're not in need for it. Or Malik Zalim, a king who is oppressive. You're a king. Everything is under your control. You don't need to be oppressive. Everybody's submitting to you. Why are you treating people like that when you can deal with them in a kinder way and you're still the king? So those people, we have to keep that in mind when we deal with that. Anytime you talk about lowering your gaze, consequences are there, punishment are there, certain things you need to keep in mind that prevent you from doing that. At the same time, there are benefits, because when you lower your gaze, you're doing what? You're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, if you pray, I love you. Or rather, if you don't pray, I'm going to punish you. And if you pray, nothing. Why do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given us the Jannah? Why? It's a pay for what we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Udkhulu al-Jannah bima kuntum ta'malun." For what you did, you got the reward here. So there are benefits for lowering your gaze. One of the benefits, you fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's better than that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, lower your gaze, and you say, okay, I'm going to lower my gaze. And look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Adam. قَالَ اهْبِطَا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌ فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ اتَّبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ فَمَنْ تَبَعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا يَضُلُّ وَلَا يَشْقَى. If you follow the guidance, you will not be deviating and you will not suffer. And when we talk about suffering, we talk about suffering in this dunya and in the hereafter. When you lower your gaze, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you that light and more of that light if you have that light already. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also told us that if you lower your gaze, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put farha, happiness in your heart. It's like, I want to look so bad, but I control myself and I don't look. Now it's very hard. Give it 5 minutes when no more you can benefit from looking. And then you go, alhamdulillah. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give you the sweetness, a sweetness that you taste for the obedience. In that minute, it's very tough. After that, you get the payback from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يقول بعض العلماء والله لذة العفة أعظم من لذة الذنب. Some of the scholars said, by Allah, the sweetness of being prudent, lowering your gaze, staying away from haram, is much more than the pleasure you get when you commit the sin. Remember, anytime you commit sin, you're doing something you like. It's not like you're doing something you don't like. Anytime you commit, why do people lie? They like to lie. They don't want people to know the truth. Anytime you lie, you like it. Anytime you look, because you like it. Anytime you don't listen to your parents, because you like it. Otherwise, if you don't like it, you won't do it. So anytime you do something, it is because you like it. This is disobedience. But for obedience, not necessarily. A woman may wear the hijab and she doesn't like the hijab, but she is doing it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her to wear it. If you come to women right now, assuming that the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they say, okay, you don't have to wear the hijab, it's not haram. You're not going to find many women saying, no, I'm going to continue on wearing it, because it's not. We're doing everything to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another one, تخليص القلب من سكر الشهوة والغفلة. You get rid of the drunkenness of the lust and the desire in your heart, and the heedlessness that you get when you sin. And as I mentioned, when a person is far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't matter how close you are to whoever you love, it will not make that up. It opens the door for ilm for you. تَفْتَحْ أَبْوَابِ الْعِلْمِ. When you are obedient, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens your mind. A person who is thinking of other things is not going to be able to concentrate. One of the benefits that you get when you talk about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, وَحُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِن دُنْيَاكُمْ الطيب والنساء. And what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that one among the things that I like from this dunya, perfume and women. Which women are we talking about? See, when you say perfume and women, mind of the deviant people, women, any women, his wives. So a person comes and tells me, I love my wife. We tell him, oh, get away from here, you're a womanizer. You're a bad person. You should not love your wife. Would we say that? We commend him. We commend someone who comes and says, I love my wife. And he loves everything to do with his wife. Commendable. It's even rewarding in Islam. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. He likes that, but with his wife's halal way. Why do you think the ulama said he likes that? It is because, solely because of his desire, his running after his desire? No. Because we know that he used to spend the night at the house of the most beloved one, Aisha, and he used to revive the night in tahajjud. And he used to beg her and ask her, oh Aisha, dhani li an unaji rabbi. The time when everyone thinks that he should be, it's okay, halal thing, he said, oh Aisha, allow me to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We know that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that because it helps him connect better with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His mind is not distracted. His heart is not full of thoughts about it. Because when the person desires for it, his mind is not clear. He cannot focus the way he is when he's satisfied. So his wives were a mean for him to have a clearer and a better mind to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wouldn't it be something praiseable? Anything that helps you to plan better and to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray better, naturally we commend that. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does, and that is a reward. When you don't look, we'll give you a couple more and we conclude inshallah. Another one is, like we said, the door of the shaitan is open when you look. Likewise, when you don't, you have closed the door of the shaitan. And that is a commendable thing, to calm down your lust that will be inflamed by the whispers of the shaitan. And we're talking about when you look, you're going to be shot with a poisoned arrow. Well, alhamdulillah, now you're not shot with an arrow, and you're not going to be shot with a poisoned arrow. You are free. So you did not lead yourself to destruction by that look. And we have to know that for the sisters, that they have a great role to kill that disease that is called not lowering your gaze. It's a disease. And women, they have the control of that. Because if they obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not leave a mean for men to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اتَّقُوا الدُّنْيَا وَاتَّقُوا النِّسَاءِ. Be aware of dunya and be aware of women. Remember, when we talk about that, we're talking about strange women, haram relationship with women, anything that leads to it. This is not a conclusive statement where you say women are horrible, stay away from werewolves, where a man may come and tell his wife. Look what the Prophet ﷺ said, be aware of women, and you are a woman. This is not what we're talking about. This is a misunderstanding of the hadith. We're talking about women who are not related to you. Well, if your wife gives you 50% of your religion when you get married. How can you be aware of her and keep her away from you? She has given you 50%. So, and this is to keep that. Also, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "أخوف ما أخاف على أمة النساء والخمر." The thing that I fear for my ummah the most is women and alcohol. Alcohol naturally leads you to women. They go hand in hand. So these are the two things. And finally, sisters, remember that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيِّ كُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُدْنِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ مِنْ جَلَابِيبِهِنْ ذَلِكَ أَدْنَى أَيُّ عَرَفْنَ فَلَا يُؤْذَيْنَ. Command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to command his wives, his daughters, and the wives of the believers to cover their body. Everything except face and hand. The majority of the scholars, even face and hands should be covered. Remember, the majority of the scholars. So if you see someone covering the face, don't say this is a fundamentalist or this is a person exaggerating. The majority of the scholars, yani let's say 80% of the scholars say the face has to be covered. If you don't cover it, it's haram. Accept that and don't look at it in a disgusting way like some people do. Even though you may say it's not, and you have your things, alhamdulillah, if you don't take with that opinion, it is open for you to not do it. But know that more people are supporting of that opinion than the other opinion. This is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sinfan, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sinfan min ummati min ahli an-nar lam arahuma an yakul minhum nisa كاسيات عاريات مائلات مميتات رؤوسهن كأسنمة البخت لا يدخلن الجنة ولا يجدن ريحها. نساء, women, كاسيات, they're dressed, عاريات, but they're not really dressed, tight pants, tight clothes, defining the body, transparent. It shows when they move or when they bend, it slips out. The fashion nowadays. كاسيات, عاريات, مائلات, مميلات. The way they walk, they sway in their walk and they sway the hearts of men too because they're attracted. رؤوسهن كأسنمة البخت. They gather their hair on the top like the hump of a camel. Remember, not in the back, the top. Because some sisters do it in the back. This is not what is in the hadith. On the top, why they do that? To attract more attention from the people. They will not smell the Jannah. Meaning they will not enter the Jannah until they get punished for what they have done. So keep that in your mind, brothers and sisters. You have benefits for lowering your gaze, and you have punishments for not lowering your gaze. Next time, inshallah, we'll talk about a dayuth. Who is a dayuth? What is the definition of dayuth? How can you classify a person from being dayuth or not being dayuth? Dayuth, I'll just give you a quick definition. A dayuth, huwa عدم الغيرة على الأهل من الزنا. A person who doesn't have any jealousy for his wife or son from committing zina or anything that leads to zina. That's the youth. Is this limited to his wife? We'll find out. What are the results? We'll find out. Give examples? We will give it, inshallah, next time. If you got this lecture, if you need more, you missed it, you want to see it again, imamhasankhalil.wordpress.com or go to sunnahfollowers.net. Sunnah, followers.net. And if you have any question, we'll take a few and then we will conclude, inshallah. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu alayk. No questions? One question, tafadhal.